Good morning. I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we know that today the house of the Lord is out on picnic grounds and lakes and maybe even golf courses. But those of you who are gathered are most welcome. Welcome today. It is a joy to see all of you, and I know that you're very good about taking these green friendship pads and making sure that you record your presence with us and also note any prayer concerns or things that are happening in your lives that you want special attraction to. And I know there are some definite activities going on. This is a full week. I mean, tomorrow's a holiday, but there's many things coming up. And I know Audrey is planning to share some of that joy with us. While she's coming, I'll remind you that this Friday, May 31st, the end of the month, Cook's Memorial will be one of 30 churches in 30 days of prayer that began about 2 weeks ago when people began gathering in churches or their homes, wherever they happen to be, to focus one day on prayer for direction and discernment around what might be more helpful to reduce the violence that we have in the city of Charlotte. So there's a poster in the back that you can sign up for 30 minutes of prayer to come either and spend time in room 113 with some devotional material around you, or you may pray in the privacy of your own home, or if you're tripping down the road and you know you'll be driving from 12 to 12:30, you can pray then. There is no place that you can be that will not allow you to pray. So sign up for 30 minutes of prayer on this Friday, the 31st, as you're coming or going, and we will be together as Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church praying for the first responders of the city of Charlotte. Audrey.
I'm going to stand up here. Next Sunday, we have our next first lunch. It's the first Sunday of every month, and we're going to have... we're not having cardboard pizza. We're having a school theme, and I want everybody to bring their old yearbooks. Now, I dug mine out, and it smelled old. But anyway, bring it anyway, the photos and any memories you want to share. If they're too embarrassing, write them down, and I'll read them for you. And also, we're going to have, like, school cafeteria food, but hopefully a little better. A little tastier, maybe. So that's next Sunday, right after worship in the fellowship hall. And my other announcement is something that's very dear to me. It started by accident. Don't ever tell Jeannie McClory anything or she'll make you do it. The Saturday Circle has started a laundry mission. And basically what we do, we collect quarters, and I want to thank the adult Bible class, the class that Johnny and Jeannie teach. They have been collecting quarters since December, and they're doing great. We meet families that are in transition, which means homeless or this far from homeless, at a laundromat, and we help them do their laundry. We pay for everything and just have a good time with them. So that is June 7th. I'm going to try a morning session and an afternoon session. It's Friday, June 7th. If anybody wants to help us, that'll be really great. Just give me a call, and that'll be great to see you guys there. You will enjoy it. Now, it will be hot, but you will enjoy it.
Thank you, Audrey. Other announcements? Yes, please, Graham.
Wanted to remind everyone of the camp in that's going on this Saturday at 5 o'clock. We start at 5 o'clock with dinner in the fellowship hall. We'll have half of the fellowship hall set up with tables for dinner and half the space. If you would like to stay overnight, there'll be places for you to set up a tent or set up just an air mattress and stay overnight. There will be games, programming, all this sort of stuff during the night. It will also serve as our end-of-the-year party for Kids Club. We'll have our usual scavenger hunt, as well as our end-of-year party for youth. When it gets a little bit darker, we'll come in and play the games we usually like to play when it gets darker. There'll be s'mores, campfire stories, all that sort of stuff. And then at the end, we will be making breakfast as part of it. So we will be serving breakfast when you wake up, as well as kicking off our summer Sunday school in the fellowship hall. Afterwards, we'll invite everyone to come together for our first intergenerational class in the fellowship hall, and breakfast will be served at that as well. Just let Sandy know as soon as possible if you plan on coming. Again, you do not have to spend the night. We'd love to have everyone there. There'll be something for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Graham. Camp Inn. I'm coming. It'll be interesting. I don't know. Yes, Charlie, I know I'm expecting you. What do you want to share? Charlie and Johnny and Jeannie were heads of lots of different spots. And so and Charlie was the master of ceremonies, and Johnny did all of lunch, and Jeannie was doing registration. I'm sure there were at least 50 people, 50 volunteers from Cook's Memorial with a few others from Pleasant Grove and Newell Presbyterian Church who helped support that as well. So for all who attended, for all who supported by volunteer work, and for all who prayed for us through that Tuesday morning, let us thank them. As we kick off summer next week, we will begin with the questions that people ask Jesus. But today we will conclude our normal year, and as we get further into worship and prepare with the reading and the responsive reading of this psalm, we invite Ben to come and lead us responsively.
Please turn to Psalm 67, verses 1 to 4. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us.
That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations.
May the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you.
May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth.
Thank you.
Together as the body of Christ, we know that we come to confess and receive forgiveness. Let us declare what we have seen or participated in as we admit our sin. God of unity, you made us to be one human family across the world, but we are often divided against each other. Greed, resentment, hatred, and fear divide us from each other. We choose separation. We contribute to animosity. God of unity, Jesus prayed for the disciples that may all be one. Help us to pray for each other, especially for those whom we find hard to get along with, so that we might be the one human family you made us to be. For it is in the name of your blessed Son we pray. Amen. We know that as Jesus traversed the world, and also that as Paul carried out the declaration of God's unity for us all, Paul began baptizing those who were beyond what was used to be the faith. And we remember those waters from the people that were Gentiles and different than the Jewish Hebrew background, as we remember the pouring of these waters, that they are for all. They cleanse the sins of each and every one of us and give us new life as we begin again. I'd like you to sit down now, because as we get ready to affirm our faith, there is an unusual confession that I have used to do this sense of concluding this section. Typically, I look to the Confession of 1967 or the Brief Statement of Faith, and sometimes even to the Declaration from Belhar, as they are the most recent. But none of those spoke to me today in a way that the Barman Declaration did. The Barman Declaration is one that I'd like to just give you a little background for before we actually say this affirmation of faith. Sometimes, when asked about the background of Barman, people assume that it was directed against Hitler and his brutal and murderous government, that the church came together to reject this idolatrous regime and proclaim the real truth. But the actual story is a little different. During the first years of the Nazi regime in Germany, 1933 to 34, the majority of the Protestant churches stood behind Hitler and celebrated him not only as the Führer in the political era, but also as their Führer in the church. The so-called German Gentiles introduced a crude mixture of pagan and pseudo-Christian elements, trying to prove that the Aryan race was superior, created by God to rule the world. A confessional synod that was in the town of Barmen in May 1934, with representatives from all the churches that were not governed by the German Christians, united. The Barmen Declaration's first thesis leads us to the center of our faith, Jesus Christ. Barman defines who we are as Christians, not by naming what separates believers from those who deny the good news, but by stating the good news in classical formation. Jesus Christ, as he is attested for us in Holy Scripture, is the one word of God which we believe. It is who we hear and who we trust and obey in life and in death. Romans 8:11. If we then follow Barman's lead, we will not identify ourselves primarily by what separates us from others, whether within our own church or within the broader Christian family. The first thesis of Barman urges us to look first at the center, to trust and obey the one word of God. Turning from the borders to the center is being obedient, trusting our God who is more powerful in holding us together than we are in separating ourselves from one another. So now, let us stand and declare what we believe in this section from the Theological Declaration of Barmen. The scripture passages are for your information. We will not need to read where it's from. Let us say together, Lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age. The word of God is not fettered. The church's commission, upon which its freedom is founded, consists in delivering the message of the free grace of God to all people in Christ's stead, and therefore in the ministry of his own word and work through sermon and sacrament. We reject the false doctrine, as though the church in human arrogance could place the word and work of the Lord in the service of any arbitrarily chosen desires, purposes, and plans. Have across this presbytery, across this country, and even across the world, we light this one candle. And in unity with the Christian brother sisterhood that we experience wherever we may be, we share that peace of Christ that overcomes all barriers. We share that peace of Christ that Jesus ushers unto us this day for the gift of our community, for the gift of our church, for the gift of our faith. Let us share that peace of Christ with one another.
Even though the Israelites find themselves in exile, the prophet Isaiah reassures them that God's power and protection remain. God answers, helps, and keeps. We also hear the ambiguous promise, "I have given you as a covenant to the people," as a powerful metaphor that used throughout their long history to describe the bond between Israel and her God. The word covenant must have been difficult to utter in exile. The signs of the reality have been alleviated. The temple and their very existence as a nation are lost. Other places in Isaiah reveal that the people understood their own journey into exile as a result of their breaking of the covenant between themselves and God. Brokenness and alienation are not going to have the last word, however. While the outward signs of the covenant are tragically broken, the prophet boldly asserts that new signs are on the horizon. The exiles, depicted as prisoners, will be freed and journey home in safety. Listen now for a word from the Lord. It's Isaiah 49, 8 through 12. It's in your pew Bible on page 726. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. In the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land and to assign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and all my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would the children and the younger youth please come forward? All right, good morning. All right, I want to talk about a couple of things this morning. We might need some help from some older people. We'll see. So the first thing Miss Audrey read for us, the word was covenant. Has anyone heard that word before? Yeah? What do you think it means? Covenant means a promise, right? God makes a lot of covenants to his people, to us. Oh, yeah, like everyone makes promises, right? Does anyone know a covenant that God made with us, with his people? Yeah?
For us to have food.
Yeah, God promises that he'll take care of us. One of the most famous covenants comes after the story of Noah and the ark, and it has a symbol that's in the sky. Does anyone know what symbol that might be? Not a rain, but a rainbow. A rainbow is a covenant, is a symbol of God's covenant with us. So like Aiden said, God has a lot of covenants with us that'll watch over us, that'll protect us, that'll be with us, and that he loves us, right? Exactly. So that's the first part. Now the second part has come, that's from our Old Testament story. The second part comes from our New Testament story, which is about a woman, and her name is Lydia. Let me see. Lydia has something really special. A lot of things that are special about her. But the one I want to read really quickly is that Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth. So, how is this shirt green? How is this shirt green? Yeah. We dye it green, right? And nowadays we use chemicals to dye things, right? But in the olden days before that, they would use different things to dye clothes or to dye fabric or to dye string. So
some people still do it. I've seen it before.
Okay. So what are some things that people use to dye clothes now or to dye clothes back then? Yeah. What are some natural things, do you think?
Sheep.
Okay, so they use the sheep's wool and that might make yarn out of that to dye, but yeah, that's not something they use to dye. Yeah, Sam, Ben?
I'm pretty sure, like, Romans use some sort of snail or something.
Okay, so some you use a snail, yeah?
Fruits or vegetables.
So I didn't know this, but has anyone ever eaten a pomegranate?
I don't even know what a pomegranate is.
Yeah? A pomegranate, the peel of a pomegranate was sometimes ground up to dye things yellow. But one of the hardest things to get was purple. Purple was the hardest dye to get because it came from this really fancy, kind of like a snail, sort of like a slug. It lived in the water, and I had a picture of it, but it lived in this kind of shell, kind of like a hermit crab. From a grape? You would think so, but that didn't work. They had to get this excrement from purple. So purple was one of the hardest colors to get. So if you ever saw a king, that's sometimes why a king would be dressed in purple, because it was so expensive and so hard to get. So
it's actually not expensive now, though.
But so that's not just about purple isn't the only reason she was special. She was special also because she converted to Christianity. She agreed to follow Jesus, and she's the first person from what is today Europe to follow Jesus. She was the first person from what we would call Europe today to follow Jesus. She's really special.
Why did they call it back then?
Well, back then it was all part of the Roman Empire, but nowadays we would say it's in Europe. It's in Turkey. So, really special. So, just a reminder that this lady was very special, but that also, just like we talked about, a covenant, God loves us very much, and he's made each and every one of us very special. Okay? So that's just something you can think about the next time you see purple clothes, is that you're created and God made you very special. Will you pray with me?
Dear God,
thank you for making us unique
and special.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we do have children's church today if you'd like to join us upstairs. Otherwise, you can go back to the nursery. Oh, you want to put the? You can put it in there, Abel. Thank you, buddy. Yes, sir.
I wonder how it actually got colored into
Graham started with a little bit of a geography lesson there, and he got us realizing that that Paul and his ministry had been moving across the country. And in this reading, we pick up with where he's on his way to Troas. Now, Paul has come across Asia Minor and across the Aegean Sea and into Macedonia, which is now actually Greece. And it was Greece where he picked up and found Lydia by the waterside. So Paul's travels have been far and very expansive. And we're gonna skip to that part right here where he has moved on now to Macedonia. So know that he is on a long journey and has a lot of past behind him and is going through this part of the country onto Greece. That was Macedonia. During the night, Paul was resting, but he had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leader city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to God's message, to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. She persuaded us. Us are Paul and Silas and Timothy, who Paul had gone to the southernmost part of Asia Minor to get. And once they were all together, they were still traveling across and trying to find places to spread the word of Jesus Christ. There are a couple of surprises in this passage, and then I want to think about how it speaks to us today. We know in the vision that Paul was expecting to find a man when he got to Macedonia, because it was a clear vision that Paul had. It would be a man to whom he was being sent to preach. But I think this is one of those places where we know that Paul actually ran into Lydia. And it's a good place to look at the fact, the real fact, that Paul is a very inclusive preacher. We have some church leaders and even whole denominations now who aren't really ready to believe that Paul was an equality preacher and knew that all women were equal to that leadership of men. And so it was not really a surprise to Paul to run into this woman, Lydia. And I think it is worth going back just a little bit more to see some other places where Paul has run into the leadership of women and welcomed them. You might remember the story of Priscilla and Aquila. And it was of their time that they worked together. And the custom then was usually to refer to the man first. And these names aren't exactly gender specific for us, because Priscilla or Aquila could have been the man. But it, in fact, Prisca was her name, was the wife of Aquila. And Paul said her name first, which is a little unusual. And then when Paul got to the church in Philippi, he called Euodia and Syntyche, who were fellow laborers in the service of the gospel, and they were both women. Then when he moved on along to find Phoebe, he called her a deacon. And so she was clearly a minister and an officer of the church. And Paul says, "Receive her in the Lord as befits the saints, and do whatever she tells you." These are words from Paul. Later, again in Romans, Paul says, "Greet Mary, greet Rufus and his mother Julie, greet Narcissus and his sister." So here, when Paul meets Lydia, Paul and Timothy sat down on the riverbank and talked with all the women, one who was named Lydia. They initially part as company as friends, because we learn later, though, that Paul and Silas, after they are released from prison, go back to Lydia's house and spend some time there encouraging the disciples before they leave. So Lydia was one who persuaded Paul to let her take care of them. There's a lot other that is left to our imagination in this passage. What do they talk about? Who are these other women, and what happens to them? What we do know is that Lydia's open heart leads her to extending hospitality to Paul and those accompanying him. Although they met in Philippi, Lydia is from Thyatira. Since she is now living in Philippi, it seems that she is away from the place that she once called home, a place with which she is still affiliated. Perhaps this made her particularly attuned to the needs of the group of the men traveling to declare the word of God. Lydia is described by the work she is doing and that she is a dealer in lavender cloth. Graham was absolutely right about how difficult it was to find lavender. Lavender was a step above the purple cloth. Purple could be made by the dyeing of grapes and other dyes, but the lavender was from a very rare and precious animal. So we have Paul being persuaded by Lydia to come and rest in her house. I know this passage is full of lots of story, and I wonder for today how it speaks to us in 2019. This story of people that were following God and learning along the way that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the uniter for all of the people that were learning about who God was for them. And we come to our modern day church. And I borrow an example that is from John Vest. He's the associate pastor of Fourth Presbyterian Church. And he said, the church is designated for a purpose. Each church has a purpose. We have become the people of God so that we might speak the wonderful acts of the one who called us out of darkness into amazing light, called us out of fear and trembling into trust and love and compassion. We have a mission, says Vest, to proclaim in word and deed the good news of God's redeeming love in Jesus Christ. In numerous and profound ways, Jesus calls us to be a part of God's emerging kingdom, even as it changes, as it was changing for the day of Paul when he began to unite and together and to call women and men to serve. We realize the world now is still in a process of transformation. Each of us as individuals and collectively as God's people, we are being called to participate in God's radical transformation. And as we participate in that transformation, I believe we are challenged even more to listen carefully to what each other are saying and not to presume we already know what's going to come from their mouths. I had that experience when I was going through the radiation treatments for cancer, and it was typical, and still is, that you have 35 days of radiation, one day a week for 5 days, for 7 weeks, so that there are 35 treatments. And then they add an extra 2, just for good measure, just to make sure they've gotten it all captured. And the radiation doctor that I went to see would see me once a week, and his opening words were, "How tired are you today?" And I had been receiving this treatment after many years of chaplaincy, and it was all I could do to sit on my hands. And I did finally say to him, "It doesn't help me when you lead with the question, how tired are you? Because you're giving me a feeling word that might not be my feeling. Please don't presume I'm tired. Ask me how I'm doing." Now, I said that pretty nicely. I said it just as nicely to him as I said to you just now, but I didn't feel that way. "Don't tell me how I feel. You don't know unless you've walked in my shoes. We need to be very, very careful about telling other people how they feel, because as you can sense it now, it stirs an anger that is not appreciated. Listen and let people tell you themselves how they feel. If you need to question that, which sometimes we do because we often come out with what's on the top of our mind, then engage in conversation. Don't say, 'I know you're tired,' because you don't know unless you're in my shoes." I'm going to go out on a limb here, because I realize we're living in days that are very broken and polarizing and divisive. And I want to say that I believe the church wants to be the place where we are a healing agent. The church wants to be the body of Christ that offers support and compassion and offers us ways to walk through the struggles without denying them or saying that you'll be fine in the end without walking through the struggle to go ahead of us. The church is that place that is a human and a divine institution. We are the people of God with a message of love, with a message of compassion and care. We want to experience faith rather than to just hear about it. We want the living word of God's presence and not just doctrinal rules and ethical words. We want the Spirit to well up in us as a living reality, not just a story from the past. Today's story, today's scripture, all of which lead us to look at the world as God's garden. Every single country, every single people, every single village and city, and even favelas and slums. We are all God's people. We have healing energies in our midst. And when they can be released, when that sense of oneness and support can empower us to share God's love, then we are being faithful to God's message. So be open to surprise. Be open to how other people feel and let yourselves hear that before you make up their minds for them. Find where we can accompany and encourage others that may be on a different path than us, because God has a greater plan than what any one of us can discern. We need to do it together. Expect a miracle. Know that the breathing and the loving and the transformation that is going on around us is what God is doing, and God trusts us to be those ambassadors. God is doing something remarkable in the world. Church matters because, for whatever mysterious reason, and on some days the wisdom of this choice boggles the mind, God has chosen us to help change this world into a loving, unified body of people, together, hand in hand. Amen. As we come together as the people of God, we know that as we voice our prayers together, we are supported and strengthened, knowing that our brothers and sisters are praying with us. I know that maybe many of you heard that Hazel Dunn's son-in-law, Jerry, died earlier, well, this week, as he was at home and apparently had died of a heart attack over the night when her daughter Kathy was staying with her, with Hazel. So that service will be coming. They were members of the Trinity Presbyterian Church, and we will remember Hazel Dunn and her family as her son-in-law has died. Are there other prayers or concerns or joys that you would like to share with this congregation at this time? Welcome home, FD and Pat. We're glad you're back. Yes, Jeannie, please.
Keep Aline Gant in our prayers. They've readjusted her meds one more time, and she's really frustrated and really feeling bad.
Aline Gant has had medication adjustment, and now her system's having to adjust to that, and she's not feeling well at all. So please remember Aline. Please, yes, Trina. Chuck E. Cheese. Ron and Trina are getting the official papers. Well, Kara and Mark are getting the official papers this week of the adoption of, well, the dear children that they have adopted. So that is a praise. That is wonderful. Official papers. Amen. Sir.
Pat and I've got a praise. We found out we will be great-grandfathers.
Oh, my. Pat and FD will be great-grandparents again. That is very, very exciting. Great grandparents. Sherry, please.
I have a praise and a concern. My praise, Rudy is on track to graduate June 19th from Therapy Dog with advanced degrees in obedience. So, Ron, I'll keep you posted. But keep Kevin in your prayers. He's really struggling with pain, many issues, back, knee, toe, hip. So just keep him in your prayers. He needs extra prayers this week. He's really struggling. And Kay and Charles in our prayers.
Thank you, Sherry. First, a joy is that Rudy is graduating with honors. So for dog training, and that is terrific. And then we want to remember Kevin as he's still recovering from hip surgery replacement and has a lot of pain and arthritis in his body, and we also continue to pray for Kay and Charles. Charles is feeling good, and Kay is out recovering from her detached retina surgery a week ago. I know some of you ask me occasionally about Andrew and Sarah. My daughter-in-law and son had applied for an adoption process, and the child that they had hoped to adopt is not in the system anymore. So they are beginning again, and they're very mature about that. So they're just still on the process, but don't particularly have a child that they hope to receive. Others? Connie, please, how's your brother doing? Yes. Lonnie's better. Trent, whoa, I'm on the edge of the... Trent and, what was the name? Kay was the other person. Kay Sistrom, okay. Anybody behind me? Okay. Let us be aware of God's presence. We know in prayer, O God, that you breathe with us. We know that as we exhale and inhale, that you are Holy Spirit, divine, entering and being present with us in all of our triumphs and also our struggles. We have heard the names of so many friends and family members and dear people in our lives that are still caught up in the struggle of humanity and in the sense of disease and accidents and the need for recoveries. We pray for people of all ages and for those we just heard about from Connie, as we know that Jean is on the way to the beach, but we also are prayerful for her friends, both Kay and that young child. And we are also in prayer for people that are recovering here as our family members, Connie's brother, Lonnie, and for Sherry's husband, Kevin, and for others who are walking through illnesses and surgeries. We ask for a sense of your guidance as we celebrate and know that FD and Pat are expecting another great grandchild. We ask for joy and celebrate with Sherry as she helps Rudy graduate and to be a service dog for others who have needs. We celebrate deeply with Trina and Ron as they are happy for their daughter and son-in-law and the children that are going to be adopted into the family, that have been adopted and now will have official papers and new names. We give thanks for the life of this church and the opportunities that it has to be a faithful witness to this community. We give thanks for the members of the PNC who are deliberating around candidates and talking with people who might feel called, and the one that we know whom you have touched to come to this Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church is in the process of knowing that as well. Guide us all in this weekend of time where we celebrate and as we remember those who have given their lives for the freedom of this country and for the privileges we have as a people, and as we know that the commitment to serve this country sometimes takes them to their death. But we pray, O God, that we might receive those who are in our midst as veterans and as faithful soldiers and Navy people and Air Force people, everyone in every stream of line of duty. Might we celebrate their presence and the offerings and the freedoms they have afforded us as well. Guide us as we care for those who are overwhelmed with the tragedies of war. Guide us as we help those who are back in this country and feel isolated and disassociated with their community. Continue to walk through us and move through us to be that swath of light and healing compassion, that whenever we cannot change things, we can walk alongside of those who are struggling. And help us know that through you and because of you, we offer a hopefulness that is beyond humanity. We offer an invitation to know we are precious in your sight. And we pray together and strengthen one another, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our gifts and offerings as they are collected by our ushers.
What about ministry update?
Ministry update. Thank you. I believe we have Richard. That's why he's coming. I thought he was coming to get an offering plate. Richard, please help us know about fellowship.
I'm Richard White, and I'm the best-looking elder that's on the fellowship committee. I'm also the only elder that's on the fellowship committee. Last year, Rick Wiltz was the best-looking elder on fellowship. And when I took over this year, the first thing he told me was he would be glad to continue with the fellowship on the lawn. He gets the drinks and cookies together, and I appreciate him and his family doing that, Rick. Thank you. One of the other items that we're getting started, and it's my fault that it's dragging along, is salt shakers. One day this week, I promise, the teams will be put together. We have got them together. We have sorted them out. You're not always on a group that you know everybody in it, but that's the whole idea behind Salt Shakers. When you get your group together, you're on your own. Do what you want to. Meet when you want to. Meet where you want to. Eat it. Have a meal somewhere. Have a meal at someone's home. Find a project that you're all interested in and do that. That's the idea behind Salt Shakers. There's a group of five or six ladies that have been meeting several times to do things to kind of get the congregation to where we know each other better. One of the things has already happened. That was the movie night that Connie took care of, and that was very successful. There was a small group here, but the people that were here really enjoyed it. The next big thing that that group has been working on is the camp in this Saturday night. I understand there's still a good many campsites available, but they have a lot of stuff planned, and I think that will be interesting if you want to be involved. When they first started meeting, they put together a list of about 20 activities that they would like to see. I can't remember all of them that were on it, but there were some that I would be interested in and some that I wouldn't be interested in. For example, cake decorating. But they're going to put some things together, and keep an eye out for those. Now, the projects that are coming up that the fellowship committee has to work on, the July 4th Christmas parade. Excuse me, I knew I was going to say that. The July the 4th parade. Dale and James have wagons and are really willing to use them and willing to pull them. We just need somebody to lead the team to see that it's decorated. And also, we need some non-meltable candies to throw out. But we need somebody to be the lead person on getting the trailers decorated, because I won't be here. The next event is August 25th, which is homecoming. That falls underneath the fellowship committee. They get it organized, get things moving, make sure things outside are set up. And this year, Thanksgiving is in November, November 28th. Fellowship is also responsible for that meal. So those things will be coming up. We moved into the community in 2001 in May. And we came, joined this church in 2002. And we're moving out this week. So these activities need someone to step forward and say, I will be glad to help. We have enjoyed our being a part of this church, and we appreciate your friendship.
Now we will receive our tithes and offerings. Thank you, Richard. We're going to use the prayer for tomorrow out of the Mission Yearbook of Prayer. The one that's printed in your bulletin is today's, but I thought tomorrow's might be even more appropriate as we are together now. So let us pray together. Lord God, we remember those who have given their lives as they served our nation. We thank you for their bravery and service, and pray that as a nation we would honor them by seeking truth, mercy, freedom, and justice. We pray also for veterans now tempted to end their own lives as they cope with the troubles within. Protect them, O God, and enable your people to extend your arms of care and strength, that peace may come. Encourage and sustain our chaplains as they herald your grace and embody your love. Amen. Now the work of worship begins. Go out into this world in peace. Know that you are cleansed of your sins and free to share the love of Jesus Christ with all that you meet. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and this communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.